WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, May 26th. Coming up, we'll learn more about Illinois' newest national park, commemorating the first town in the nation to be legally registered and platted by formerly enslaved people. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois Senate has passed a state budget after multiple delays, though late last night, Senate Republicans said they were disappointed by the spending package, explaining it didn't represent downstate districts. Democratic Senator L.G. Sims Jr. disagreed.
So let's be clear. This budget does reflect our priorities. It reflects our shared priorities to move our state forward. It reflects our ability to invest in communities. What you call expenditures, we call investments.
The little more than $50 billion budget includes increased spending for education, economic development, and childcare initiatives. The measure now goes to the House, where Democratic leadership says it will pass without any changes. Officials delayed action on a plan to tap $51 million to assist thousands of asylum seekers living in Chicago City shelters. Tessa Weinberg reports.
Three city council members delayed the vote on emergency dollars yesterday. It's rekindled a debate over using city funds for new arrivals instead of long disinvested communities. Here's Alderperson Anthony Beal.
When you have people starving for resources every day and they've spent their entire life looking for those resources and can't get them, but yet we can just find $51 million to throw away, that's a problem.
Mayor Brandon Johnson acknowledged the urgent need for a long-term plan yesterday, but hasn't offered one yet.
We'll put forth more comprehensive approach as, we continue to assess the situation, of course, that we inherited from the previous administration.
The city council meets again next Wednesday. Tessa Weinberg.
A longtime state social service agency with a large presence in central Illinois is changing its name. What had been known as Children's Home and Aid becomes Bright Point. President and CEO Mark Shaver attended a rebranding kickoff in Bloomington. Shaver says Bright Point better reflects how the nonprofit works with families.
This is a pivot. For 140 years, we have been solving crises. Over that period of time, we've understood that it is possible to go upstream to prevent little problems from becoming life-altering crises. And Bright Point represents our approach to do just that.
Shaver says the previous name made sense when the statewide group formed in the 1800s. That's when it mainly served children placed in group home settings. But today, the nonprofit supports children and families with a variety of programs. Bright Point serves about 30,000 Illinois families each year. An Illinois man has been charged with attempted arson after driving his car into the site of a proposed abortion clinic in Danville. And as I report, attacks on clinics are rising. States that have legalized abortion saw a disproportionate increase in violence and disruption since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last June. Melissa Fowler is the chief program officer with the National Abortion Federation, who helps track anti-abortion activity throughout the country.
And we are seeing anti-abortion individuals following the same paths as patients and going to the places where patients are still accessing care to target the clinics there.
NAF also found that arson incidents at clinics doubled and rates of burglary and stalking increased. I'm Farrah Anderson, Illinois Newsroom. Still to come, we'll learn more about New Philadelphia, which recently became the nation's 424th national park. That story is next on 217 Today.
One of the greatest novels in the English language comes to masterpiece in an adaptation of Henry Fielding's Tom Jones. Solly McLeod stars as Tom, with Sophie Wilde as Sophia, the beautiful heiress and object of his infatuation. This stellar cast brings mid-18th century England to life in all of its passion, luxury, and loose morals. You can stream every episode now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. A small Pike County, Illinois town rich in history is making headlines nearly 200 years after it was founded. New Philadelphia made a name for itself in 1836 when it became the first town legally registered and platted by a formerly enslaved person. Recently, the town site became the nation's 424th national park. As Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson reports, the descendant-led and community-wide effort was years in the making.
New Philadelphia sits along a strip of Illinois Route 2, roughly 25 miles east of Hannibal. The property is an open field with towering trees scattered throughout. The original structures are all but gone, except for their foundations, sitting beneath wooden homes from the 1800s, moved there from neighboring towns. But what has lasted are the stories passed down about the town's founders, the McWhorters, a last name full of history.
One of the important, powerful messages was really about the importance of family.
That's Gerald McWhorter. He's the great-great-grandson of Frank and Lucy McWhorter.
What Frank and Lucy did was devote their lives, really, to making sure that, on the one hand, they provided a place for the family in Pike County in New Philadelphia. At the same time, they devoted their economic activity to freeing family members out of slavery.
In 1836, New Philadelphia became the first town in the nation to be legally registered and laid out by the formerly enslaved couple. Frank was born into slavery in 1777 in South Carolina. He and his owner, George McWhorter, eventually relocated to Pulaski County, Kentucky. Frank was able to hire out and save enough money to buy he and Lucy's freedom, along with 16 other family members. Sight unseen, Frank purchased 42 acres of land in Pike County, Illinois, that would become New Philadelphia. The town was stable until a group of white businessmen from Missouri pushed for a railroad to be constructed that would bypass the town. Christopher Fennell is a professor of anthropology and law at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
These white business people in the slave state of Missouri in 1857 did not want to see this thriving African-American town, which was a commercial hub, become an even more thriving depot town. And so they actually spent more money in bypassing it.
The snub cut off further opportunities for economic growth, but that was just the beginning of the promising town's decline. Many residents left for large metropolitan areas like Chicago and Kansas City for work. New Philadelphia dissolved in 1885, but the McWhorter descendants and people in surrounding communities never forgot about New Philadelphia. The New Philadelphia Association, a group made up of descendants and community members, has worked to preserve the town. The site has received many National Historic designations. In December, the New Philadelphia National Historic Site became the 424th National Park. Gerald says this designation was a long time coming.
The National Park Service is in the forever business. So while New Philadelphia had a moment where it could have gone away and been forgotten, now it never will be forgotten.
The National Park Service is still in the early planning stages of what they have in store for the site. The New Philadelphia Association has already set up a visitor center, an augmented reality tour, and signage. And visitors come to the site even in its current form. A busload of 38 fourth graders from Western Elementary School in Barrie are here on a windy spring day. They're learning about little-known Illinois history. And one of the students, Isla Moss, is excited to see New Philadelphia.
And then you look around and all you just see is, like, fun. And you think about, like, what's been in the past and how they were and, like how they worked and how they lived.
The National Park Service is still in the process of securing the rest of the land that made up New Philadelphia. The Park Service will also hold community conversations with stakeholders. In New Philadelphia, Illinois, I'm Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 78 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Cameron Cutinello, Tessa Weinberg, Michelle Steinbacher, Farrah Anderson, and Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.